Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with my co-host Dave Allen, bringing you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Thursday, January 4th, 2024. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Melody. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Well, you know, it's National Spaghetti Day, so happy that, if you will. More importantly, it's also National Trivia Day. Yes, a day that celebrates those of us who accumulate lots and lots of trivia, much of it fairly useless and irrelevant, well, except maybe perhaps to ourselves. It turns out in ancient times, the term trivia largely meant something very new. Centuries later, some nostalgic college students in the 1960s began to informally trade questions and answers, mainly about the popular culture of their youth. After writing trivia columns, Columbia University students Ed Goodgold and Dan Karlinski created the earliest intercollegiate quiz bowls, which would later go on to be televised. I remember watching a lot of them during my teen years. They tested culturally and emotionally significant, yet often useless information. Students dubbed them trivia contests. Well, in 1966, the duo published Trivia, the first book treating trivia in the revolutionary new sense, who also achieved a ranking on the New York Times bestseller list. And over the last 5.5 decades since then, the word trivia has come to refer to obscure and arcane bits of dry knowledge. It also refers to nostalgic remembrances of pop culture. Trivial Pursuit peaked in 1984 here in the States when consumers bought over 20 million of the games. Wow. Stephen Point of Wisconsin holds the largest current trivia contest at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point's college radio station. Typically 400 teams participate, ranging from 1 to 150 players. Competition is actually open to anyone. It spans over 3 days, 8 hours over, 54 hours total, actually, with 8 questions each hour. And let's not forget the most popular trivia show on TV, anyway. First season of the popular show Jeopardy premiered 60 years ago in March 1964. And Melody, before I turn it back to you for today's market report, I've got a trivia question for you.
Okay.
Put you on the spot. You've been involved with financial survival for over 25 years. My question for you is, what was the price of gold when you first started doing the program? Let's say in whatever, 1999, 2000. Do you know?
It was ranging there for in the late 90s. It was, you know, when I first got into it, 95, it was, you know, 400, 450. Then we had the dip to 250 heading into Y2K. And, you know, it was 250 was like the low. So it was trading between, you know, 250 and 300 for a long time.
Well, listeners, you heard it right here. The queen of today's trivia contest, Melody Cedarstrom.
I'm glad you didn't want me to answer a specific date. I can't Google that fast.
Yeah, that would test your fingers.
Yes. So, yeah, and I can remember vividly when it was 250. It was, you know, I can't recall what silver was trading at, $2 maybe, somewhere around in there.
Jeez.
And it was, yeah, I could never understand. I mean, people would buy tubes of 20 of the 20 silver eagles, and, you know, it was like, you know, $100 or something.
Jeez.
Well, yeah.
Hey, I'm glad you didn't remember the days when it was $35 an ounce.
No, you know, I'm only 39. I can't go back that far.
I know.
You know?
That's right. I didn't want to go there.
But, so, yeah, that's, I love trivia. It's fun.
And well, what's gold doing today?
Well, gold today, a little bit of trivia today. No, gold is up $8 today. It struggled in the beginning, but it did have a reversal. We saw the dollar have a little bit of some pressure on that. Maybe you can give that number here shortly, Dave. So we're looking at gold at 2,051. And let me get to silver. Silver was up a little bit, $23.22. And I'm trying to get to my other markets. I've got new screens I'm getting used to, folks. So platinum was down $18 at $955. And we have palladium down $28 at $1,043. Crude oil today, basically unchanged, holding at $72.40. And the U.S., the Dow Jones was up 10 points at 37,440. The S&P was down 16, and the NASDAQ was down 81 points. European markets were all positive, all by like a half a percent, so no big moves. And, of course, Asia, they were all negative, with the Nikkei being down a half a percent, so not too much going on there. 10-year yield is hovering around 4%, 3.997. Pretty close to 4. And let's go to the natural gas. That's up 6% at 2.844. So that's,
dollar index. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
dollar
no, go
index,
ahead.
To bring it to a close, was essentially flat today, down 0.1 at 102.4, basically the same as yesterday's close.
Yeah. So, yeah, a lot of it was kind of I feel like everybody's waiting for something. You know, I mean, there really is no direction. I don't think anybody really knows which direction to go, except those of you who understand gold and need to, you know, get it covered, get your assets covered, get your wealth insured with gold and silver. But so much, again, there's just so much going on out there. And I mean, we go to, you know, we talk about so many places laying off and everything like that. But yet, according to the ADP, the private payrolls increased by 164,000 for the month of December. And of course, the revised number for November was 101,000. Rebound in leisure and hospitality sort of led the way. Almost 60,000 for that sector. Hotels, restaurants, bars, they were the leaders. They don't get waged well, but I think people are now conditioned to tip well. I think this country tips better now than this country ever has. They make you feel guilty now if you don't tip. A lot of good wages are made in today's hotels, restaurants, and bars if you're good.
I've been a patient and generous tipper my adult life, but I'll tell you what, the first time I see a tip jar at the hostess station of a restaurant is the day I walk out.
yeah, really. Yeah, it's gotten, but you know what I noticed too, unless you go to a really high-end service, it stinks. Usually, I don't know if they're understaffed or, but you don't see people really hustling like you used to. I mean, you used to hustle, and wait on your tables, and I don't seem to see that as much. But
it's
anyway,
funny. I was I forget. I do remember. I won't mention the restaurant. It's a chain restaurant, national chain. I was in recently for to pick up some takeout for our family, and there was no one at the takeout counter. I walked around and peeked into the one part of the kitchen, and there were no less than four, maybe five wait staff there looking at their phones.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, come on, guys.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, and you know what? Management, I think, is they don't want to say anything because they don't want to walk it out of them. And that's
they
what
people don't want to lose. You're right. That's exactly
for, on that moment. But you think that they say, well, we just replaced you. So goodbye, because I caught you on the phone too many times, but I don't know. It's a strange work world anymore compared to what we were raised. And the way we hustled, and I don't mean hustling, but we worked hard. But the construction, they contributed to $24,000. Still do work hard. Construction contributed to $24,000 to the total. Financial activities increased $18,000. Some were down. Some services were down. Manufacturing was off $13,000, and mining also saw a decline, Dave.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a story I haven't thought of in years. One of the first jobs I had when I was 16, I got a job with a good friend of mine, Glenn, at the local hospital in the town we grew up in, mopping floors. We were in housekeeping. And one of the rules, there weren't that many that I remember, but the one rule that our supervisor, who's a pretty stern guy, said, you cannot leave the hospital during work hours. Of course, unless there was an emergency of some sort. Well, one day, the vending machine that we used for our sodas and crackers or chips or whatever was broken. And so we put a wooden stick, propped the side door open. Our supervisor wasn't anywhere near, we thought, and we ran a half a block, no more than half a block down the street to this corner store, got ourselves a soda and a bag of chips, ran back as fast as we could, and there holding the door open for us was our supervisor. And that was our last day of work at the Good Samaritan Hospital.
Oh, wow.
It was no messing around back then.
Yeah, wow. Isn't that interesting?
We were held accountable and paid for it.
Yeah, yeah. Now today you can just show up.
Call the shots. Yeah. Now get around to it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for the diversion.
No, I think that's an interesting story, you know, because it's the difference between then and now. And you know, I can't imagine going forward what it's going to be like. But anyway.
Anyway. Well, we'll be thinking about jobs on our colonies on the moon and Mars. And
yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Right. You know, the one thing I found interesting about this report was the pace of earnings growth slowing down again, with those staying in their jobs seeing annual pay increases of 5.4%, while job changers saw their earnings increase 8%. That's over the course, I think, of 2023, you know, as of the end of December. ADP's chief economist Nella Richardson said, "We're returning to a labor market that's very much aligned with pre-pandemic hiring. While wage prices aren't driving the recent bout of inflation, any risk of a wage price spiral has all but disappeared." But we'll see what the government says about job growth tomorrow compared to ADP. They've been off a lot, the two of the reports. One group of economists sees a growth of 170,000 coming out of tomorrow's Labor Department report, down about, 30,000 from November. We will see.
Well, you know, we'll touch on this briefly. We had the jobless claims that fell to 202,000 for the week ending December 31st. That's down 18,000, but, you know, it's a four-day work week. So naturally, it would be, you know, it would be down. So, they were closed a day, right?
I would think.
Yep. So it's
Monday. Yeah. Monday.
Yeah. So I don't know if they don't adjust them or anything like that. I mean, they never say it's a 4-day reporting week, but it does make a difference. But the 4-week average of claims fell by 4,700. 1.86 million Americans are collecting jobless benefits during that week ending December 23rd. That's a little bit of a decrease. And again, that would have been a short week too. I don't know. Weekly unemployment claims are, of course, a proxy for the layoffs. They remained at historic low levels that we have seen in the face of these high interest rates, Dave.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I think that needs to be said about that particular story.
Of course, we know online spending that rose in 2023. Almost 5% year over year. It was a record for e-commerce and a lot of discounts. And, of course, the pay later, buy now, pay later, that increased, I think it was like 18% or something like that. It was quite significant. Now, these numbers are all according to Adobe Analytics. Sales totaled over $222 billion on retailers' websites from November 1st to December 31st. So, and you know, Adobe's data covers about a trillion visits to U.S. retail websites, 100 million unique items, and 18 total product categories. It's a lot of people, a lot of visits for 18 categories.
I'll tell you,
isn't it?
I hope that computer spreadsheet is pretty much self-actualizing, self-fulfilling. I'd hate to be the person or persons who has to update that that report every month.
Well, the so e-commerce prices have dropped for over a year, and they were down 5.3% year over year in December. Strong spending during the season could bode well for, you know, your bigger ones like Walmart, Amazon, Target, blah blah blah. And so we saw the retail numbers decrease. So the retail numbers decreased, and they just went over to the online, right?
Yeah, just more staying away from stores. It's become too simple. And as we'll talk a little bit more about later today, I mean, the fact that Amazon in particular, a couple other big retailers are gearing up for drone deliveries this year. That could change things even more.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
The sky is falling. Oh no, it's just your Christmas present.
Well, that mainly be in the bigger cities. But we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Talking away. I don't know what to say. I'll say it anyway. Today is another day to find you shying away. I'll be coming for your love, okay? Take on me.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. There's our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter and blog by our very own Dave Allen.
Oh, stop.
Oh, and today we're running a special on everybody likes the 1/10th ounce American Gold Eagle and, of course, the 20 Silver Eagles. And, you know, I priced this morning and it's $825. I priced it before gold went up 10 bucks. So it's a pretty good deal. And before silver turned around, too. So it's a pretty good deal at $825. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Dogs. We were talking about dogs during the break. And I think this is your topic today for Levity is golden. So dogs are always golden in our hearts.
Indeed. Indeed they are. And, you know, the Lancashire Heeler, the Lancashire.
I was going to say Shire.
Shire. Gila. You say Shire, I'll say Shia. Became the American Kennel Club's latest accepted dog breed yesterday, the Lancashire Heeler. Energetic, agile, and obedient, the Heeler hails from the United Kingdom and dates back to the 17th century crossbreeding. The breed became eligible to start competing on January 1st. The AKC recognizes 201 breeds now, which can compete for best in show at events at Westminster and other events. Three breeds were recognized last year, the Russian Toy, the Moody, and the Bracco Italiano, one in 2021 and three in 2020. So it's tough to break in to the recognition category, Melody. There are only about 400 Lancashire heelers nationwide, according to the president of the U.S. Lancashire Heeler Club, Cheryl Bradbury. Getting recognized as a member of the herding group requires proof of at least 20 litters bred with a three-generation pedigree. Wow. So it's been a while, been around for a while. They live between 12 and 15 years. The average litter is five puppies. Lancashire heelers are small but sturdy, according to the AKC. As a herding breed, the dogs like having a mission, like participating in herding, agility, obedience, rallying, a 100-yard dash, barn hunt, etc., etc., etc. Bradbury said, "I always caution buyers to not let a puppy's cuteness fool you, though. The minute it's off your lap, it may be chewing your shoes or nipping at your heels." Yes, I'm familiar with that. I'm sure you are, Melody. But like virtually all other breeds, eventually it will grow to be your best friend, the most loyal friend you've had. Now, this particular breed earned full recognition from the UK Kennel Club in 1981. The U.S. club representing this breed formed in just 2007. Now, Lancashire heelers, just Google for a photo of them, have also been called mini Dobermans, because I think that's what I think they look like, but also Manchester Terrier mixes and even some kinds of Corgi. Anyway, with this recognition, breeders expect the dog to become much more recognizable in this country in the future. Melody, I know I'll be looking for them at next year's Westminster Dog Show. And that is this week's Levity is Golden. Happy 2024.
I was going to say, show the listeners a picture.
I know.
A mini Doberman, huh? So no long hair. They got short hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, they do grow on us.
Yes, they do.
Well, let's get back to some news. And this is interesting how Ford's, you know, I have to question everything, Dave. Ford's U.S. sales increased about 7% last year. I find that interesting, especially since they were on strike and they shut and closed production. So it's kind of interesting. 7% they increased. Nearly 2 million vehicles in 2023, 7.1 increase from the year before. And, of course, it trailed Toyota and General Motors. Their 2023 sales are lower than the industry sales growth, which auto data firm Motor Intelligent reports topped 15.6 million last year. And that's about a 12% increase from the year before. And they're not doing well. I just saw their report, something on their F-150s. None of the news that came out of Ford was real positive for 2023. So it surprises me that there was that big of an increase from the year before.
Well, especially since the F-15 sales were up 75% during the fourth quarter.
I mean, how can that be?
Well, maybe there is a recall. The one thing we can't say is that numbers don't lie.
Numbers don't, but the people who produce them do.
No, I mean, you can't say that numbers don't lie. Because, yes, they often do. that's a curious thing. it's interesting that their Mustang, their electronic vehicle, the Mustang Mach-E, notched the best annual tally since it launched in 2021. Though EVs, including hybrids, represent only about 10% of Ford's overall sales, last year. But again, for the 47th year in a row, that F-Series truck was America's best-selling truck. Interesting, 750,000 units sold last year, up 15% from 2022. So, I don't know. Go figure.
It kind of makes it also interesting is a lot of the, I don't know where I read this, but for a lot of these EVs, people put in orders. Maybe it was Tesla that I'm thinking about. They put in orders, but they're not going to be delivered forever. For a while anyway, and they are actually marked as sales. But even though the people don't have the vehicles and they're not actually in position, they only, I guess they order them and put down a small deposit or something, but I think they're actually logged on as actual sales. So anything could happen between the time that they actually, you know, log on as a sale versus, you know, lots of times those sales don't go through. They get, you know, vehicles aren't delivered or they change, you know, so all kinds of things could happen. But so to me, I think they should only count those that are actually delivered.
There you go. I like that.
So anyway, that's because just
that's,
me.
That's what matters. Being from a dealer's vantage point, from an investor's vantage point. Mm-hmm. When the vehicle's delivered and the money, the final money actually changes hands.
Changes hands, yeah. Mortgage apps, you know, they dropped even though the mortgage rates are falling. And I would have to say, you know, of course, it probably has a lot to do with Christmas, too. People just aren't. But the Mortgage Bankers Association index of mortgage applications fell almost, you know, 9.5% for the week ending December 29th. Compared with 2 weeks earlier, the data also show that the average rate on the popular 30-year loan ended the year at 6.76, which is still pretty hefty, but still down from 8%. But it is slightly higher than it was the previous week. And, I mean, it's certainly the recent decline in rates certainly gives the housing market some optimism going into this year. But we haven't seen purchase applications pick up yet in that, in reference to that response. Available home supply remains down. There's a stunning 45% from the typical amount before the pandemic began back in 2020. So I don't know if there's any, let's see, what do you have to say to this?
Well, let me tell you another cautionary tale, if I may.
Yes.
So indulge. It's something to pay attention to. Maybe you do. Most people. I hope most people do. But in today's automated world, I know in our case, my wife and I have had a home equity line of credit for a couple of years. Not long. It's not huge, but it's a chunk. And we got an introductory offer, I think, 3 years ago of 1.99%. Now, who wouldn't jump on that for some home renovations you want to make to an older house, especially? Well, you have a loan like that. Make sure you look at the monthly statements, whether you get them in the mail or particularly if you get them electronically, which provides a tendency to just, you know, click on the email and then say, oh, it's just a statement. I know what's going on. And delete it. As it turns out, our 1.99 interest rate is now 8.25.
What?
Percent. Yes, yes. I was on the phone yesterday in a not so pleasant mood with a very pleasant customer service representative at this credit union and asked, aren't you required, don't you, as a matter of policy, at least send an email to your clients when there's going to be that, you know, that stark of an interest rate increase so you can lock in or refinance or whatever. And, you know, after roughly 5 minutes of bank jibber jabber, I, you know, was given, you know, the opportunity to, you know, there were two ways they could get us down to as low as 5.5%, 5.4%, I think it was. And it was like, well, this just would have been nice to know, you know, a year ago or 6 months ago. But on the same hand, I hung up thinking, boy, are you stupid for not having kept abreast of your account, especially when, you know, there's so much money at stake. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you got a loan of any type, read your monthly statements.
You know, you're right. They should be required to send notifications out. But I think what a key example that you shared, what I think is very important to the listeners, if you do get something like that happen to you, make sure you call them. You can get those rates reduced, you know, especially if you're you keep making your payments and stuff like that. And I know people who do that on their credit cards. They'll call up and say, no, I want a lower rate, and they'll get it. So, I mean, you know, it's not going to go from, you know, 8 to 2, but I mean, you can get those credit cards percentages dropped. So it's worth the call. And so, yeah, pay it. Yeah, it's. And Dave, I do the same thing. I don't pay much attention, you know, to some of my statements and so forth. And I think because, you know, we're so inundated anymore with, you know, so much is going on, and sometimes the statements you get, you can't even figure them out. It's like, huh? Oh, okay, whatever. You know,
that's what led to my initial call to this credit union, is that I had thought about it just a few weeks ago, and just said, you know, I wonder what interest rates are for new loans there, lines of credit. And you know, I couldn't find it anywhere in my account. I mean, the woman did, you know, guide me there, but it was hard to find.
They don't want you to find it. That's why. Because they don't want calls like yours. So that's why they make it difficult to find. So be careful out there, ladies and gentlemen. Inflation. Hey, it's going to be a great 2024, because there's some people out there, Dave, that believe it's going to drop below 2%.
Oh, my gosh.
Inflation risks are to be more balanced in 2024. But what happened to 2023 inflation and 2022 inflation? We still got it. Have you seen prices go down yet? I haven't. Not enough to say, hey, inflation is going down, because it's not going to go down.
There ain't much deflation out there, just disinflation, now that they're teaching us to differentiate between falling inflation and slower increases in inflation.
Well, what they're tying, this is my opinion, what they're tying the rate of inflation to isn't our... You know, it isn't our lifestyle purchases. They're to me, I think they're relating all to the 10-year yield. If that rate is going down, then inflation is going down. It's just like the stock market. You know, our economy is the stock market. As long as that's good, then our economy is good. And so we begin to view things differently, and we kind of, in a roundabout way, miss the real or the reality of what is really going on. Does that make sense?
Sure. A lot of it is how it's being reported.
How it's being reported, what they're tying it to. They're not tying, they'll tie inflation to gasoline, because that's the most obvious.
You know, even news anchors of local television stations in the cities are making well over $1 million a year. You know that they're much more heavily invested than the everyday American in the stock market. And, you know, it's not just the mainstream media. I mean, it starts with the elected politicians who like, you know, we talk about the headline and unemployment rate all the time as being so artificially low and understated and misleading. And yet it's always, always the figure that we hear about.
Hey, I hear the music. We will be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on shortwave radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Hey, welcome back to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Dave Allen, Melody taking care of clients. Call her at 1-800-375-4188. On Tuesday's show, Melody and I talked about how America's spending on construction, particularly the construction of new factories, has been surging. The Biden administration's legislation, particularly the CHIPS Act and that so-called bipartisan infrastructure law, has spur a surge in construction spending that's buoying some growth in the economy. In fact, manufacturing-related construction hit a $210 billion annual rate in November, more than triple the average rate in the 2010s. That's according to census data out earlier this week. Now, all that spending is driving a boom in construction hiring. Job openings in construction increased by 43,000 last month, according to the Labor Department, and are up by 111,000 over last year. Contractors are even facing labor shortages in some area, particularly with very large industrial projects. In a political sense, the boom has done little for the president. Most voters aren't thinking about the building of new factories when they think about the condition of the economy. Plus, Republican politicians, many of whom who voted against the new laws, have claimed credit for a lot of the construction that's happening in their districts. The big question as we enter the new year: will the surge in construction spending eventually translate into a surge in hiring I should say a continuing surge in hiring for manufacturing jobs. Well, Aaron Sojourner at the W.E. Upjohn Institute for Employment Research thinks it will. I think we'll just have to be patient for the actual results to start pouring in. Because until that time, we can only guess. We made mention of this last segment. After more than a decade of development, delivery drones, it looks, are finally going mainstream this year. Still, they won't be quite as ubiquitous, omnipresent as, who was it, Kevin McAllister's cousin says on Home Alone. They won't be that much as the Blue Horizon vans or the white vans or brown UPS trucks in your neighborhood, well, yet anyway, with some but not all regulatory hurdles cleared, retailers, medical centers, logistics platforms, we are starting to offer drone delivery in many more suburban neighborhoods starting this year. It means receiving meals, prescription drugs, household items, pizzas at your door in less than 30 minutes via some flying contraption. More electric drones in the sky mean, well, no fewer noisy trucks and less tailpipe smoke wafting across the street into your homes. Whatever the case, your grandchildren are going to wonder why anyone used a multi-ton vehicle to deliver a five-pound package in the first place. Until recently, commercial drone operators weren't allowed to fly their aircraft long distance without visual spotters along the routes. Having observers staged every mile or so along a drone's route turns out to be impractical and costly, which is why companies couldn't afford to scale up drone deliveries, well, at least until now, because they were limited to trips within a mile or so of retail partners like Walmart and Walgreens. That changed last fall, though, when the Federal Aviation Administration began authorizing some drone operators to fly their aircraft beyond the visual line of sight, term known as BVLOS, beyond the visual line of sight. Now, that key breakthrough, they say, has opened the door for companies like Zipline, Wing, and Amazon to begin more widespread drone deliveries now. Amazon, whose executive chair, Jeff Bezos, first floated the idea of drone delivery over 10 years ago, is ramping up toward a goal of 500 million drone deliveries a year by the end of the decade. A lot of drones. Until now, Amazon's been operating in just two communities, Lokeford, California, and College Station, Texas, using dedicated drone fulfillment hubs. Well, this year, Amazon will add a third U.S. site, plus two more in Europe, before really ramping up its push after that. It's also introducing a smaller, well, quieter delivery drone, which will be fully integrated into Amazon's delivery logistics network this year, which means that their trucks and vans and drones will depart from the same building, giving customers access to faster delivery of a greater selection of items. Zipline, which started out delivering medical supplies to outposts in Rwanda and Ghana, has already flown more than 60 million commercial autonomous miles and is rapidly expanding its U.S. operations. This year, it'll begin deploying its next-gen delivery drones, which includes an autonomous droid lowered by a tether for gentle, precise deliveries. Interesting. Until now, it's been dropping packages via parachute. Well, customers include restaurants and retailers like Mendocino Farms, Sweetgreen, and GNC, as well as medical centers like Cleveland Clinic and Michigan Medicine. Zipline will also be delivering prescriptions and medical supplies in the UK starting this year. Wing, a subsidiary of Google parent company Alphabet, has completed over 350,000 deliveries so far, the vast majority of them in Australia. In the US, it's making deliveries for Walmart within a 6-mile range of two superstores in the Dallas area, and for certain retailers in Christiansburg, Virginia. Its new Wing Delivery Network is a next-generation logistics platform that's designed, they say, to enable high-volume drone delivery across wider areas. So as it continues to grow, Wing plans to use AI to make its operation more efficient. For example, its drones will be going to be able to make decisions about where to leave a package if, say, a customer requests a delivery in their driveway but left their car in the delivery spot. Other companies like Walmart-backed DroneUp and Israel's Flytrex are also planning to expand this year without the limitation of human observers. Of course, the FAA says it's focused on developing a standard set of rules for these BIVLOS operations to make these kinds of deliveries routine. Agency's currently reviewing safety recommendations from a committee of industry stakeholders. Thus, it looks like 2024 is the year that drone delivery becomes a wider spread reality. But the excitement, Zipline CEO Keller Rinaldo Clifton predicts, will wear off quickly. If our experience in Salt Lake City and Bentonville tells us anything, he says, it's that people go from science fiction to entitlement in 7 days. For 7 days, he continues, it's pure magic to them. Then on day eight, they're looking at their watch and saying, hey, you're 30 seconds late. In any case, hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. The new normal doesn't look anything like your grandparents' Kansas. Hey, staying with tech here, the other day I talked about how artificial intelligence will become front and center in 2024 in our quickly changing world of big technology. Well, in fact, Microsoft is so confident AI is the future of computing that it's adding a new button to the keyboards of Windows PCs dedicated to its Copilot AI assistant, starting with new machines next week. It's the first change to the Windows keyboard in 30 years, and the latest example of hardware makers betting on AI to create new product categories and breathe life into older ones. Microsoft exec VP Youssef Mehdi said, we definitely think this year is the year of the AI PC. We think this is the fundamental change with how people will interact with their computers. Now, while tens of millions of people are already using the Windows Copilot, Mehdi says the addition of a dedicated key shows that Microsoft sees it now becoming mainstream and valuable enough and easy enough for a much broader set of the population to use. Mehdi said that although 2024 will see a wide array of other AI-specific hardware, the PC has a unique role since it's where users create so much content, from music to screenplays to images. Copilot key will be located to the right of the spacebar, replacing a menu button. Now, the first PCs with the dedicated key will be announced at next week's CES 2024 in Las Vegas, with more coming by the spring from Microsoft and other PC brands. By year's end, the Copilot key should be everywhere on new PCs, they say. Pressing the new button will launch the Windows Copilot, which uses natural language input to allow people to modify their computer settings, launch apps, and perform other computing tasks. For those that don't have Windows Copilots installed or enabled, pressing the key will take users to Windows Search. And then while the hard key is the most visible change to their Windows PCs, Mehdi says it's part of a broader reimagining of the PC for the era of AI. Under the hood, PC makers are adding chips that include neural processing engines specialized for AI tasks. By tightly integrating AI into the Windows experience, they say, Microsoft and its PC-making partners could also win competitive points over Apple's Mac line. Windows last revamped the key PC keyboard in the mid-90s with the addition of the Windows key, which takes people directly to the Windows Start menu. That key debuted on a Microsoft-branded keyboard in 1994. Of course, it's become standard on Windows PCs since then. In adding AI features directly to its hardware, Microsoft has plenty of company. Google and Amazon are both trying to breathe new life into their smart speakers and displays by using an AI-powered version of their assistants as well. With its latest Ray-Ban smart glasses, Facebook parent company Meta has added an AI assistant. And other companies have announced various AI-specific hardware in the recent months. Humane, for example, is set to ship its AI-powered pin early this year. Yes, changes like the dedicated key and neural processing engines are relatively modest in the whole shape of things, but a key question is whether the good old PC will need to morph further to fully harness the potential positives, emphasis on positives, of AI. And last today, again, related, sweeping layoffs across big tech over the past 2 years are leaving a permanent, indelible mark on the industry's leaders and their workers. Nearly 500,000 job cuts were announced over the last 2 years. It's according to layoffs.fyi, a tracking platform, with some of the biggest disclosed a year ago. Amazon leads the way. 27,400 layoffs over this period, followed by Meta with 21,000, Google with 12,000, Microsoft with 11,100. There's also Salesforce, Twitter, now X, and Netflix with major numbers too. For the past decade or two, these companies were rolling in money and desperate for tech workers, according to executive coach Dory Clark. When that environment ended abruptly and spread throughout the industry, she says it had a dual effect. It psychologically unsettled executives. And she said it became a wake-up call for tech workers who now know their jobs aren't safe in a permanent sense. Roger Lee, who created layoffs.fyi and is co-founder of comprehensive.io, said that he believes this recent cycle can help younger tech workers reset their expectations. Lee's an entrepreneur who lived through the dot-com boom and bust, the Great Recession, and this latest downturn. It's interesting for these younger tech workers, who as a rule, especially compared to the boomers who a great tendency to work at the same place for 15, 20, 25 years or more. The younger generation sticking around are keeping their options open, I should say, much more than we did. Lee is an entrepreneur who's lived through all this stuff. He says tech's reputation as a way to get rich quick, which is born during periods of excess, was an unrealistic view that many people, many of them young at the time, had. Clark says sentiments in tech have been improving over the past few months, as particularly as inflation has started to cool. Well, this is ironic as we end the program today. As we're talking about AI, just in the background, somehow Alexa picked up a question from me and is talking as I'm trying to end the show. So I'll just stop there and say that's all the time we have today. Thank you, Alexa. I'll be back next Tuesday. Melody back tomorrow with Butch. Also be on the lookout for our blog in the morning. And thanks as always to our production engineer, Todd Waite, and to you for tuning into Financial Survival. I'm David Allen. Please be safe out there. Bye-bye.